Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini, or micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's PROMESCENT.com/Emily. Promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Date night, but sometimes we go out to dinner and I'm so full, we don't have sex, or we get too drunk, or we get too tired. Have sex before dinner. So the sex happens, and then you go out to dinner, and you're satiated from the sex, you're not thinking about it anymore, and then you go out and you have a great night.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. I hate to say it, but here's the truth. Without an effort in prioritizing your sex life in a relationship, it's going to get stale. It's going to get boring. In today's best of episode, I share some easy sex hacks that improve intimacy and bring back the spontaneity in creative ways. I give new uses for your pillows, ideas for games you can play anywhere, and tricks to make doggy style even better. I also answer your questions about how to communicate to your long-distance partner that you need more attention in the relationship, why prostate orgasms can be amazing, and what to do if you worry your partner's porn problem is creating problems in the bedroom. All right, if you haven't checked out our new website, you should do that. We're able to put together all of our years of posts and articles to make it easier. Plus, we have a new post, 14 books to add to your sex ed library. So I looked through my vast collection and I wanted to cover everything from enhancing your orgasm to new position guides, breath work, boosting your libido, demystifying the clitoris, and a couple of enlightening memoirs. So no matter what you're interested in, there's a book for you. So check it out at sexwithemily.com. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, let's set an intention. So when you're listening, what do you want to learn? What do you want to get out of listening to this episode? How could it help you? Well, my intention for you is to give you simple, easy things to try in the bedroom next time you want to mix things up and help you think outside the box. All right, everyone, enjoy the show. Sex hacks. So why sex hacks? Well, this is a concept I've been thinking about for a while because there's so many ways that you can really be creative when it comes to sex, to orgasms, to foreplay, just to making sex work for you and not against you. And I know I give a lot of tips on the show, but I thought like a sex hack, like how can we hack into your sex life and just enhance your intimacy, boost your sexual confidence, add more pleasure to sex. So I just love hacks in all walks of life. But with sex, I realized that my life has sort of been like the way I have sex. I'm just always incorporating sex hacks. For example, here's ones that you can use today. Think about your bedroom, okay? The bedroom, hopefully you got pillows on your bed, right? I have a lot of pillows on my bed. And I don't know if you have memory foam pillows, but these are the best ones to use for what I'm talking about. So pillows are great to use during sex and they can like change the entire game. So if there's certain positions, for example, if you're on the bottom, and you would like your pelvic to be up a little bit more so it can hit your G-spot or just hit different spots or see what it feels like, and guys can do this too, place a pillow underneath your butt or your lower back because then your pelvic is at an angle and this way when your partner penetrates, you're just going to feel it hitting that spot and you can play with the pillow as well. If you're lying on your front, you can also put a pillow under your stomach, which works great for rear entry positions. And honestly, I was just talking about this in the office a few weeks ago. And I realized that I'd forgotten to do that lately. And I was like, oh, so I was having sex recently. I'm like, oh, hold on a minute. And I grabbed my memory foam pillow and sure enough, made a huge difference. Just for certain positions, different partners. And, you know, like I said, missionary sex does not have to be boring. You can also play with toys in a different way, play with different vibrations. So for example, I always talk about different toys that I love. And some of these are in the videos, but I was thinking like a penis ring. Like let's say that's a great couples toy. And I've talked about the Pivot by WeVibe. The Pivot is great because it's a penis ring. So you wear it during sex, but it's an amazing clitoral vibrator. So I always use it when I travel because then I have both and you can, you know, use it that way. Or it's great to put like a bullet vibe on your cheek or under your chin when you're performing oral sex because then your tongue and your cheek and your whole mouth is shaking like a vibrator. And we all know how amazing vibrations feel. So another one, you guys, if you want to hack a threesome, I know that's your top fantasy. It actually is a top fantasy for men and for women. So a great way to pretend you're having a threesome that actually sees if you can actually handle a threesome is to narrate it, to use sex talk, to talk like you're having a threesome when you're actually having sex with your partner. So you can go something like this. Yeah, she's this woman's here. I see her like licking you and touching you and you're licking her breasts or she's on top of you or whatever it is. And you like play out the scenario in your mind like you're having a threesome. And I'm telling you, I cannot talk about the importance of dirty talk enough. In fact, there was a piece I was quoted in for Men's Health that got picked up everywhere and they just loved this one headline. And they said, this is the one thing that women want more of during sex. And it was dirty talk. And the truth is, it does, you guys. There's something about speaking sexy words to your partner and describing what's happening because, you know, our brain is the largest sex organ. So the more you can feed that, and a great way to do it again, you guys, use a threesome, use what's happening in the moment, describe different scenarios that you think are hot. And it's a great way to test the waters and see like, oh, that was hot. Maybe that's something I would be into. And another great way is to also watch porn, watch threesome porn together. Because if you're like, I don't know how to describe it, I've never had one. You could watch some porn together and then describe what you saw. Because that's the other hot thing about having an actual threesome is that I know a lot of couples like to swing or play with other people. And then when they're having sex, they actually retell the stories over and over again. It's like using your dirty talk as like a sexual narration of your fantasies. And the other great thing about narrating something that's happened or something you want to happen is that for those of you who get stuck on dirty talk, you're like, I don't know what to say anymore. I told him to F me harder. I told him to grab my ass. But when you have like a scenario that you guys can get into and kind of play back and forth, it's really hot and you don't have to make it up because it's something that actually you talked about or you saw or actually happened. Games are also a fun way to add a little spice and a little something spontaneity to your sex life. And there's a lot of fun games, like sexy games on the market that actually help you with your relationship, help you figure out what your partner's into, what you're into. There's a game called Monogamy, which is like, it's a board game, kind of looks like Monopoly, but it's spelled it's monogamy. And that shakes things up when you're in a sex rut. So it's kind of like Monopoly. You work your way towards hot sex. So it helps you communicate, adds a little romance. You use like the purple cards for passionate actions. You know, the red cards are really spicy hot. And so if you're a game couple and you like sit down and you guys play Scrabble or backgammon, why not play a board game like this? That's actually, you can, it's a real game. Someone's going to win, someone's going to lose. But like the loser might have to do whatever the winner wants in bed. Another one, spicy dice. This is a really fun for like for foreplay with your partner. They're so easy. You can take them wherever you go. You can, if you're at dinner, you can do it. Be like, let's play with this. Like, here's, let's set up our foreplay for later. Because there's three separate die and each one has a purpose. So one has like places to have sex, like in the bedroom, in the living room, in the car. And the other one has places on the body, you know, and then the last one has actions like kiss, tickle, lick. So you roll it and it could say like kiss, ear, in the bedroom. And you're like, okay, start with kissing my ear. So it's just a fun way to start like, hey, we want to have sex tonight. I don't feel like wondering if he's going to initiate or she's going to initiate. You just play some games. And remember, couples that play together, stay together. My last sex hack that has seemed to be really popular lately, especially with friends who are like, we have date night, but sometimes we go out to dinner and I'm so full, we don't have sex, or we get too drunk or we get too tired. Have sex before dinner. So the sex happens and then you go out to dinner and you're satiated from the sex. You're not thinking about it anymore. And then you go out and you have a great night. So that was a very popular one. I thought that was kind of an obvious thing, but apparently it's not. So have sex before dinner. Let's talk about doggy style. Cause why not? Cause I know a lot of you love doggy style position. And I was recently quoted an article that I think you guys will like because, listen, we've got limited sex positions, right? I mean, there's base positions, right? Like doggy style and missionary, and there's a few others. And then there's variations on them. So I think people are like, positions get boring. So here's a few tips to make doggy style more intimate. These tips work for any two people, two men, two women, two non-binary people, a heterosexual couple, whoever you are, these doggy style tips are for you. And I think that, again, doggy style is the go-to position for a lot of couples. I think that a lot of men love that it offers like a really good view and they're in control of the depth and the speed of the penetration. But how do you make it more intimate? How do you make it so everyone's really connected during this position? So some tips I have, the sandwich doggy style position. So if you're the receiver, you're lying flat on the bed on your stomach with your legs closed, and then your partner gets on top of you and your partner's legs are outside of yours as your partner enters from behind. So this position is less about like thrusting in and out, and it's more about really connecting with your partner. And also for women, having your legs closer together, if you're on the bottom lying on your stomach, it offers tighter friction, which can make it more enjoyable for women. I know that this is something that I had to learn later in life, but I'm so glad I did, that you can easily like pump your Kegel muscles and your pelvic floor muscles and tighten it, and it can feel really, really good. So offers tighter friction when your legs together, and also your partner's hands are free to drape over your hands or hold your hands. And also your partner's face will be close to the back of your neck, and you know, they can whisper sweet nothings in your ear. The neck is a killer erogenous zone. So that's a fun variation of it. There's also the rear view. So if you're thinking, oh God, doggy style, it's just, you know, we're not looking at each other and it just feels so alone. You can actually make eye contact. So here's a little upgrade. When you're in the typical doggy style position, turn your neck so you can connect visually and look into your partner's eyes as the thrusting is happening. I think that we're afraid for eye contact a lot during sex because it just makes us vulnerable. I think eye contact in a lot of ways makes us vulnerable. You know, those people you meet even, not that you want to have sex with, but you meet out in the world and you're like, why aren't they looking at me? I think we're all afraid of it, but many of us can be. But there's a great intensity and closeness that comes when you actually can look into your partner's eyes during sex. So this might be the connection that you need during doggy style to take it to the next level. Also, you guys, another doggy style tweak is to make sure that everyone's having a good time and getting off, because a lot of times for women, it doesn't, if you're the receiver, you're not going to have as much clitoral stimulation as you'd like. So this is why it's great when, you know, your partner has their hand free, you've got two hands free, and you want to make sure that your breasts and clitoris are easily accessible for either you to touch, or hopefully your partner will touch, stroke them. He can use a vibrator. He can hold in the palm of his hands. He can hit all those erogenous zones, your clitoris, the vulva, your pubic mound, all those things. So when he's thrusting it out, can bring you both to a really great orgasm. So you don't have to forego your pleasure in doggy style. So I hope this makes a lot more sense for you and makes it a lot better than before, because it's not necessarily common sense. In fact, a lot of things aren't.
Okay, I'm going to take a quick break, but when I come back, I'm talking to Lindsay, who's worried about her husband's masturbation. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Okay, we have Lindsay. She's 29 from Canada, and she feels like her boyfriend is giving all his energy to porn, and maybe she's just a chore. Hey, Lindsay, tell me what's going on.
I'll give you a quick background. So my husband and I have been together for about 3 years. Okay. In the beginning of our relationship, he admitted to me like that he was masturbating like 5 times a day, and we were still having sex like 2x a day. So he was like basically a machine. Mm-hmm. A little time went by. He started having some erectile issues. So he took down the amount of masturbating he was doing, and that helped a little bit, but he started realizing he had some issues with porn maybe, so he scaled it back. Long story short, as time's gone by, it went from being a lot, maybe like 4 days a week we would have just sex in, I guess what you'd say, an average sort of general missionary kind of, you know, married, mm-hmm. we're like intimate,
right.
sort of like typical, but then maybe a couple other days a week we would have some more fun and like do some exciting things, and I expressed to him how much I enjoyed that. And then now it's been like just the same time of day, the same position every single time, and I feel as though when I'm away or if he's on his trips, that he goes away quite a bit, I feel as though he's masturbating several times a day. And I just am starting to feel very bitter and angry at the situation. So,
have you talked to him about this?
A lot. I would say like we communicate overly about it, like a lot, and not overly in a bad way. Like I don't want it to be like an issue that he feels pressured or anything like that.
Right.
And I've just been trying. Basically what I said was, I'm just going to give you space to kind of, because we're all on our own journey. I was like, you're on your journey with this, figuring out like a new sexuality, because he's never really had a lot of long-term relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just kind of giving him space, but I'm wondering, it's like, is there anything I should be doing?
Yeah, it sounds like you really, it sounds like now you're building up resentment. And so it sounds like the tactic, well, I love that you're talking about it, and I love what you said, we're on our journey, man. You go do you, I'll do me. But since you guys are in a relationship together and you're committed and you're married, I feel like that's something you have to work on together. And so, I mean, you said you're just having like missionary sex in the morning and that's all that's happening. And then the masturbation thing, I'm wondering, like, does he know specifically what you need and how to please you? Because I feel like we're talking a lot about what his needs and you're working with him, but like,
you want something else. And how have you been able to communicate that with him? I know you don't want to pressure him. Yeah, but you need to certain things from him.
For sure. Yeah, like I have said little things. Like I like just the, even just really general things, Emily.
Right, like oral.
Like me saying like, I like doggy style. You know what I mean? Like that feels really good for me. And I feel as though he's having ED issues in other positions more so.
Oh,
and
okay.
I feel like something I like, he used to like fun choke me, fun slap right. me. And that was kind of like something we would do. And like I've said, expressed several times, I'm like, I really like that. Not every time, but occasionally I really enjoy it. And I've always been very vocal and it's just disappeared.
Right. So you think it is ED. So maybe he's afraid that if he moves, he's just going to lose it altogether. Is that what's happening? So it's more about his own performance anxiety? Because that's kind of what happens a lot. Just wondering why it would have changed and if he's masturbating a lot or he's sneaking not that masturbation is anything wrong with that, but I don't understand. Have you actually said to him, like, these are the things I've been wanting? And I mean, do you ever try to get in doggy style? Because you can do it too. You can kind of lead him along.
Yeah, and I definitely need to take responsibility to do that more. But I do find because he ends up like, he never loses it, but he'll get like softer and he gets really insecure, even if he's like remotely soft.
Right.
I've expressed to him, I'm like, I've been with people before.
Yeah, it happens. Women are not, right.
Oh my God, it's getting, I have no problem.
We don't trip up on it like they do. Yeah, guys are like, oh my God, my penis is malfunctioning. Like, what do? I can't live. Right, like everything's falling apart. So yeah, I feel like it sounds like you guys are of great communication, which I love, but I also think that you got to take it to the next level now. And I think sometimes like it's more than one conversation. Like you might've let him know a few months ago, I liked when you choked me, and then you get in the moment and he's like, it's just easier to do missionary. So maybe you need to like give him a plan for it and like literally say like, let's talk about what I desire and how can we do this together? I don't even know what's going on with him, but like, he's like, I'm not sure how to do it or what you want. And then tell him again, like, if he gets soft for a second, like that's fine. Like he could go down in you give him a blowjob. There's different things that you could do. He's in his own head, it sounds like a lot. The fact that he's not willing to waver from this one position since you've been married for 3 years?
Married? We've been together for 3 years. We've been married for a year.
Okay, for a year. So whatever it is, it's like the conversations that you're having, it sounds like it needs to be like fine-tuned towards your needs and his needs. He's masturbating 5 times a day. That's a lot. And then having sex with you twice a day. So I'm wondering if there aren't other things going on with him. Like, I don't know how you just stop that. If there's some other like sexual trauma in his past, I don't know because I'm not seeing it, but there might be some other things going on that you guys could kind of try to work through on your own, but maybe seeing a sex therapist. We can't always solve all these things on our own. So if you guys could also look at having more connected sex and more intimacy, because it sounds like it's sort of mechanical right now and you might need some more like staring in each other's eyes, breathing together, like really touching and connecting in an intimate way. Because that also, when you do more of that stuff, like when you're looking in each other's eyes or you're breathing together, you can't do anything but be focused on each other. You can't go inside your head. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because you're connected. So I would start playing with some of those things so you feel like you're getting your needs met as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I just need to work on growing. Like, I'm so used to the men in my life taking so much control over these things. That's never been an issue for me in the past.
Right.
Like, it's always been like, because I get really nervous because I've never done that in my life.
Right.
So
I get it.
I'll say things like in another conversation and I'll be vocal about that. But when it comes to the actual time, I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, how do I do it? How do I move? Right, exactly. So you're both mm-hmm. in your head. So what might be really cool is if you have this exact conversation with them, you're like, I talked to Emily or whatever you want, say, I realize that I want to initiate too and I'm nervous. And so then it's kind of like you're both being vulnerable together. And then you're like, so when we have sex next time, I actually want to move into doggy style or I want to do whatever. And that makes me nervous too. And then if you talk about it, it's out there. And he's like, okay, I get that. So maybe I can move this way and you move that way. And it's like, you have to just like these things that you're saying to me are the exact things you have to say to him.
Yeah.
So it's okay. You say, I might be clumsy. It kind of makes me nervous. And the fact that you've even said that, just know that might not go so smoothly the first time or second time. You might laugh, but the more you do it, you talk about it, you take all the power away and all the anxiety, and then you'll be able to come together, hopefully come together and also come together on having sex that works for both of you. Hey, Lindsay. You got it.
Okay.
You
thank you
this?
So much.
You're
yeah,
so
I have
welcome.
Some homework to do then.
Yeah, some homework, but it's fun homework. Okay, Lindsay. I do too.
Thank
I feel good
so
about
much.
This. Thank you, Lindsay. Have a great night. Thanks for calling. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Here's why I always say communication is lubrication, because so many of our sexual challenges are around finding the right words to communicate. And not only that, continuing to communicate and taking it to the next level. Sometimes we think, well, I talked about it and therefore it's done and my partner's just going to understand what I'm saying. And I think when we really tell our partners the things that we think we cannot say, that's really when the vulnerability happens, the connection, and it enhances intimacy. So say those things, you guys. Life is too short for bad sex. So the sooner you address whatever it is on your mind with your partner that you trust and love, the sooner you'll be having amazing sex, the sex that you want and that you deserve. All right, we have Christopher. He's 40 from Missouri, and he wants to talk about pegging orgasms. Hey, Christopher. I'm so glad you called.
Hi, Emily. Thanks for calling me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's so nice to talk to you. So tell me about what's going on.
About 15 years ago, I've always been into anal play. And about 15 years ago, I was having anal sex with myself, just using a dildo. And I had an orgasm, something like I'd never had before.
Right.
And since then, my wife and I have 8 years. She's more than willing to do this to me on a regular basis, the pegging. My question is what kind of orgasms am I having? Because I've looked it up online, and I can't find anything that compares to it.
Tell me about the orgasms.
Well, first of all, it's multiple. I mean, back to back. I mean, no more than 2-3 minutes apart.
Amazing. Okay. Sounds great.
and extremely intense. Is the only way I know how to describe it. It's my entire lower half, my abdomen, my stomach muscles, everything just tenses up. And it's like it's trying to push back.
Okay.
I know when I do this to myself that if I don't hold on to the toy that I'm using, I will push it out.
Right.
And my wife has said the same thing, that when this is happening and she can feel it, she feels that the toy is pushing back against her.
Mm-hmm.
It's not painful by any stretch of the means, and it's very enjoyable. I'm just kind of curious.
It's probably because you're flexing. Yeah, it's like you're flexing your sphincter muscles. So it's kind of like your whole area is like just flexing and tensing. So it would make sense that you'd be pushing it out, right? Because that's kind of like you're flexing and tensing and relaxing. You'd be pushing it out. So that makes sense. So I think you're having a prostate orgasm. It's very different than having an orgasm with ejaculation. And it sounds like it's full bodied. And the more you have them, you're having multiple orgasms. It sounds like it's epic. So are there any problems with it? Or you're just wondering like what?
No problems at all whatsoever. I mean, other than having to kind of be prepared for it a little bit. Outside of that, there's no problems whatsoever. I just didn't know. Like I said, I looked up online and you know, watched other videos of guys having these types of orgasms, and they typically have semen coming out, and I don't. I have urine.
So that's what I okay. So that So that could be like fluid from the prostate, or like you know because you're not erect. So that's probably why it's not semen coming out, and it seems like it's urine, but it could just be like fluid from the prostate. Because
okay.
You're not erect. So that would be what it is. So I feel like that is common, you know, that it wouldn't be the same kind of orgasm you're used to. But it's all an orgasm. And it sounds like you're having a really great one, which I always tell men, experiment. Why not? Like it could be this amazing sensation. I think men should just take a gander. Go back door.
Oh,
check it out. And I think you're going
to
be inspiring so many of my listeners. Yeah. And it sounds like over time, too, they've gotten better and more intense.
And frequent.
And good for you.
Yeah.
Right? So you found a willing partner, your wife. It sounds amazing. Have you got a prostate exam?
No, I haven't had one for probably close to 20 years.
Okay. I think it's important to start getting one now that you're 40. Get checked out.
Mm-hmm.
I always recommend that. Doctors. So it's a good thing to do. But keep having fun. I love it. You're inspiring all of us.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank
you. Okay. Thank you. Bye. Bye, Christopher.
Bye.
Okay, guys, so if that's not reason enough, I'm always telling you guys, if you haven't explored, it's not a must. You don't have to. However, I feel like the tides have been turning when people ask me, like, what's changed with sex in the last, you know, 13 years we've been doing the show? And I think that men are more open to experimenting with prostate play because, hey, what if you start to have multiple orgasms and your whole body shapes and you need to call me and say, Emily, I'm having these amazing orgasms. I don't know what they're called. Wouldn't that be a great problem in quotes to call me about? So I send you all on that mission this year. If you choose to accept this challenge, go play with your prostate. All right, coming up, I'm talking to Ashley, who's having challenges in her long distance relationship. I'll be back after this quick word from our sponsors. We have Ashley. She's 23 from New York, and her boyfriend doesn't seem to know how to show affection in their long-distance relationship. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Emily.
Hi. So thank you for calling. Tell me about what's going on with you and this relationship.
Sure. So overall, he is just not really that affectionate guy. It's kind of harder since I did move from Texas to New York, and he has a lot going on. Like, he's still in school. He's kind of in trouble with a DWI, so he has a lot of, like, meetings and things that he has to stay on top of. And, like, I realize if I was in his position, all of that stuff would probably come first, like, mm-hmm. to figure out my life and move forward. But I keep trying to tell him, like, you know, maybe it's just not the right time for you to have a relationship, because it leaves me to feel like not really like second choice or second option, but just like
right.
not really the focus.
Got it.
Not that I need to be like his entire life.
No, I understand, but like, it's like, yeah, you guys were together. Wait, let me just get this straight though. You guys were together for how long? A year? And then you moved to New York and he's still in Texas. Is that it? You've been long distance?
For like 6 months, and then I moved.
Okay, so 6 months together in college, and now you're in New York, and it's been long distance for how long?
8 months.
Okay,
by this
got
point.
It. Okay, so you said to him, "Hey, I get it. You're busy. The DWI. You got to take care of yourself." And then what did he say?
And he just says, "Like, you know, I do need to do all this stuff, but I don't want to lose you.
Okay.
You know." And I don't think he tries to make it seem like I need you to get through this. But I have been like really supportive of him, because it kind of has brought him down. I don't think he's trying to like guilt me into staying with him by saying like, you know, if I lose you through this, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I don't think he understands that.
What do you want?
Going through all this stuff.
Wait, but Ashley, tell me what you want right now. Do you want to be in this relationship, or do you think that a little break would be good for you?
I've told him, like, you know, we just need to take a break. You think about what you want, because what I need is for you to show more attention, affection, whatever.
As we all do, by the way, we all need that. So, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So, right now, we are on a break, because I just want him to figure it out. Like, I'm not really at a point where I just need to jump into another relationship. Like, I'm okay with, you know, taking a little bit of time, figuring things out.
Okay.
Like, ever since I was like, okay, you know, like, I'm on a break, you're on a break, do whatever you want, I don't really care. And it's just like a switch went off. And
right, he's calling you every day, he's FaceTiming, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you, that's what happens.
I don't understand why it took me to, like, do this for him to, like, realize what I was saying.
You know, because sometimes, you know, they say, like, you don't want to know what you got till it's gone. I mean, this is a classic response. And so I feel like, yeah, he's going to lose you and he wants to keep you. And I get that. You hear that. This is kind of like a typical thing that it happens. And I don't know why it happened. You know, I'm sure he really cares about you, but he was really afraid that he was losing you. So he came back around. I don't know how long this is going to last. But what I'm asking is, does this make you feel better right now? Or are you still sort of like, I'm not so sure? Because what I'm seeing, Ashley, is you're 23 years old. You just moved to a fabulous new city. You have a boyfriend who's, you know, long distance, and he's giving you attention now. You're FaceTiming now. You're on the phone. I feel like, not that you need to go out and have a relationship right now. It doesn't sound like that's what you want, but I also don't want him to be holding you back from kind of just being you and getting acquainted to a new city and a new life. Do you have any plans for you guys to be in the same place anytime soon?
Yeah. So we've talked about him moving here whenever he graduates.
And that could happen. And that's like in another year from now.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just giving you perspective. I know it doesn't feel this way, but you're 23 years old. And do you want to be in a long distance relationship for a year where you're in this place? I don't know. I feel like, seems like a great guy. You guys can still keep talking. He knows how to fill you up right now when he thought he was going to lose you. But unless you know for sure, like, he's the one and you guys love each other. You've been together a long time and he's definitely moving to New York, but you were together 4 months and then you moved away and now it's tense. And I just feel like there's not enough evidence, enough data that I want you to be spending the next year like on the phone trying to negotiate a relationship when you could be out living your life.
Yeah, you're right.
That's my gut. Okay, sweetie. So I think you got to just kind of do you right now. It's a great time to be young, to be single, to be in New York. And I don't think you need this long-distance drama.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for like what I say to him when I do this? Because I keep saying the same thing, like, we're just at different places in our life right now. He can't give me what I want. And he just, like, pushes back on that.
Then you got to say, you know, you have to be tough and you got to be sweet. You got to tough love. You know what, babe? I've really thought about it. I really care about you. I think it's best for us to have distance right now and we need to have this space. You know, I think honestly, the best thing you have to do is not talk for a few months. Like I would say like 3 to 6 months without contact. Although I understand that you're also each other's support system, but you just have to hold strong. It sounds like he's a sweet talker and he's going to know how to say everything to get you back. No, you've made this decision and you just got to say it and be honest, tough, and tell him the truth that you need the space and just be honest, but you can't cave. You got to stick with what you decided. And I'm telling you, right. It's going to be hard at first because you're each other's support system. But once you get through this and you stick to your guns, you're going to feel so much better. I promise. And you're going to have a whole new life that opens up. I see it. Okay, Ashley?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, I feel like you already know this. So just do it. Be strong. You got this. Thanks, Ashley. Good luck to you. Enjoy
thank
New
you.
York. Okay, bye. Thank you.
Bye,
Ashley. Few interesting things that this brought up here. First of all, you guys, long-distance relationships, if you are in a long-distance relationship and there's no room, like you don't know if you're ever going to be in the same city again or when it's going to happen and you haven't really been together that long, you really should kind of take a look at that. I don't love the idea of having drama and problems in long-distance relationships unless you know that there's a clear break when you guys are going to be together. Also, it sounds like there's a little bit of communication challenges around here because Ashley has a big heart. You can tell she cares so much about her boyfriend, but she's saying, well, I think this is good for you to have the space. But really, it's also about her and her needs. And I think it can be really hard for us to kind of stand up for what we want, what we believe in, because we don't want to hurt anyone in the relationship. But I think once we do that, we stick to our guns, we say what we need, what we want. Like, it's not like there's a right way or wrong way to do it, but speaking your truth and what you really feel and you want, no one can argue with that. So that's what I'm hoping for Ashley. And that's what I'm hoping for all of you in your relationships. That's it for today's episode. See you on Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this, they will too. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you want to ask me a question about sex, dating, or relationships, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many articles on there helping you better sex. And you can check out our guides at sexwithemily.com/guides for free guides that will give you expansive tips and activities. Sign up for our weekly emails because, hey, I've been told I give really good emails. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.